This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
She was a vampire who could never see the light of day.
He was a zombie shuffling his way through the afterlife.
Love would bring them together,
but human flesh would tear them apart.
They were doomed to be on Sci-Fi and Scream.
Tuesday nights from 10 on Joy 94.9.
Hello, yes, you are listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. You're here tonight with Dr. M panelling, and we have some wonderful guests on the show tonight and some wonderful topics that we're going to be discussing. Now, we have the lovely Sonia on the show, as always. Hi, Sonia.
Hello.
Hi. We have a guest film director, Thomas Elliott, who's here to talk about his new Australian, it's sort of 70s-style paranoia film, Occupied. Welcome, Thomas.
Thank you very much for having me.
And as always, we have the lovely Bailey here, who's later on going to be talking a little bit about the next instalment of the A to Z of horror. Welcome, Bailey. All right. We also have a pre-recorded interview to play tonight with the organiser of Stranger With My Face, which is a really great horror festival that's coming up in Tasmania this weekend, and that's with Bryony Kidd, who Sonia was lucky enough to interview earlier this week. And now I'll cross to you, Sonia, for a little bit of a chat about Occupied with Thomas.
Occupied, what is it? Apparently it's a sci-fi horror with the 70s paranoia flair, I believe. Now, Thomas Elliott, you are the director, yeah?
Indeed I am.
Yes. Tell us about this project.
So Occupied's a film that I've been developing for a number of years now that we are looking to shoot in May of this year. It's a, I guess, 1970s inspired horror, thriller, all combined into kind of one film with drama elements as well. Very much influenced by the films of John Carpenter and, you know, those great 1970s films by Romero, you know, The Crazies.
Yep.
And Philip Kaufman's Invasion of the Body Snatchers as well is probably thrown in there as well.
Right, okay. That's very ambitious.
Yes,
it is. It's made here in Victoria, I believe.
Yes, we're going to be shooting out in lovely regional Victoria in around the town of Trentham. So about 45 minutes from Melbourne. Very scenic near Daylesford, Spa Country. If you're into spa country.
Right. Spa and are we looking at abductions here? I mean, I don't want to spoil it too much, but alien.
It has a bit of an invasion of the body. We pitch it to people as Invasion of the Body Snatchers meets The Wicker Man.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. So people are being captured somehow. So
people are being taken over. They're being occupied, so to speak.
All right. Intriguing. Now, it's a Melbourne-based production company. That's Achtung Films.
Achtung? Yes, yes.
See, my German is lousy.
No, that's good.
Right, so tell us a bit about that.
So Achtung Films is a film company started by myself, John, and Emma. It's a film company that we started last year, actually, after I'd been left working full-time places and went back to freelancing. And we decided to start a film company that, while doing commercial projects, is also developing feature film projects. So we do commercial orientated projects like TV commercials and stuff like that, but we also have a division that is designed around creating films. So we've been developing a slate of projects for a number of years, and we're hoping now to basically bring those projects to fruition, and they're all genre-based kind of films.
So what can we expect to see? What more have you got coming out of that film company?
We've got a range of projects, actually. I mean, Occupied is envisioned as the first film in a potential trilogy.
All right.
Yeah, that's right. I noticed that on the Possible site. Actually, can you talk a little bit about that, the Possible crowdfunding campaign?
So we're crowdsource funding through Possible, which is a very strange way to make a film, but it's quite a common way to make films now. And I think if you're trying to make a genre movie, you've not got much support in going to a government body with, I want to make a film about, you know, aliens, and I don't really want to go there. They'll just talk to you about, you know, cultural relevance, and well, it's Australian, it's culturally relevant. So crowdsource funding is a great way to, I think, to tap into fans of genre and fans of different types of movies, and basically say, well, look, if you want to see a film like this, you can support it on Possible and you can help get the film made. And obviously we're offering a range of rewards and benefits for people who do pledge their support. And those rewards can be anything from, you know, we'll thank you in the credits to you can come out to the shoot and you can, you know, be an extra. We do have a fantastic big action sequence at the end that we are looking for some extras for. Yeah, where townspeople go bad.
So where can people go if they want to be an extra? Do they have to be on Possible? Or?
Well, we are offering that as a pledge thing on Possible, but I'm sure that at some point we'll probably need more people than that. So I think that we will probably look at a casting thing maybe through Star Now or something like that.
All right. Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Occupied. Yeah, I mean, I can't understand why Australian cinema wouldn't do more sci-fi. How much interest have you had?
We find so far that we've had a lot of people very interested in the project, which is good because it is novel. It's something different. And for me, I mean, I grew up on Australian film being quite diverse, and we had, you know, films like Mad Max and Razorback and Body Melt and all kinds of fantastic genre-based films. So for me, I'd like to see more of that. I'm a genre fan. And I guess we're just hoping that there are more genre fans out there who would get behind a film because it's something different. And, you know, we used to make stuff like this. And I would like to see more of that stuff at the Australian box office. I'd like to see some more diversity. You know, I like Australian film, but, you know, I personally like to go and see a genre film that I really want to go and see.
And hopefully if more people take this approach, this kind of crowd-funded approach to filmmaking, the government might kind of take the hint and realise that this is something that audiences actually want to see, because I've spoken to a lot of creatives who really lament the fact that the Australian government is not very supportive at all of genre fiction.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I mean, the government, it's nice that government funds films, and I'm pleasantly surprised that we live in a country where that exists. But, you know, I think the government's got a lot of bigger issues, you know, and funding films really shouldn't be one of them. I think in the end, I like the idea that crowdsource funding puts the control in people who go to see films' hands. I think any time a government gets involved in anything, it becomes politicised in some way. And therefore, you've got to look at things like, well, how culturally relevant is this story? Will it appeal to, what will it say about Australia? And I don't think that that's a connection that makes sense to audiences. Audiences go to see films they want to go and see.
Yeah.
And if you look at the box office returns of the average Australian film, they're pretty grim. And particularly the funded films, because a lot of them are artistically wonderful, but they're not films that audiences go to see, unless they go to see them out of guilt, like, I should go and support an Australian film, so I'm going to go down to my multiplex and go and see something, which is a shame because a lot of those films are fantastic. But
I think it's where festivals come in. Festivals seem to cater for perhaps more genre, quirky films, underground films and so on.
Absolutely. And overseas,
that seems to be a trend now, overseas especially.
And overseas it's a much bigger market.
Yeah.
The writer of this film, David Richardson, wrote a film that was released overseas last year called The 25th Reich, which was a genre film which did fantastically well overseas, but probably didn't have, other than going to Monster Fest here, didn't have as big a kind of impact locally at the box office. And I think the experience from that is that overseas, genre is very big, and Australian genre is actually quite interesting to people overseas because it's another unique niche within the genre range.
It certainly needs more support, and Occupied, let's hope that's what happens with you guys and leads to this trilogy you mentioned.
Well,
can you tell us about that?
Yeah,
so the trilogy is pretty different. We've identified the first film as kind of a body snatcher invasion film. The second film has been envisaged as referencing quite closely probably They Live, the John Carpenter film from the 1980s. It's a film that I'm very much in love with, not just because it features Roddy Piper and he's amazing, but that story deals with the concept of people discovering that there is a larger alien conspiracy going on underneath, and, you know, they control everything from the government to I think They Live's all about Republicans and Reaganism, but you know, that's where we see the second film going. It's all about a global conspiracy and the story, they're now everywhere and blah blah blah.
Will that mean it will be made outside of Australia, is that what you envision, or you just have different
something we've discussed filmmaking. Discussed shooting part of it overseas, but also we'd like to keep it local as much as possible, and we'd like to be making local Australian films. So I think creatively we could find ways around that. And the third film, the trilogy, is like a war movie. So it's kind of aliens to alien. It's we know they're here now, and we're fighting aliens.
Okay. Cool. So where can people go? What would be the top sites you think people need to visit if they want to find out more about Occupied and this whole project?
So the first place you can go is the Possible page. So if you go onto possible.com/Occupied the movie, there's a great amount of information there. There's also a lot of information on our Facebook page. So if you go to facebook.com/Occupied the movie, the Facebook page has lots of great video content that's going on there every day. You get to see behind the scenes stuff, casting through to location scouting through to everything that's going on in the movie. So they're probably the two best sites for people to go to.
Good one.
Okay.
Great. Well, we wish you all the best. I think fantastic support that you need. Occupied, definitely people, if they want to be part of Aussie film history, they might even get to be an extra.
They could. They could. And they could have a wonderful kind of head explosion moment. So
oh, goodness.
Be great for them.
But that's not real, of course. That's just makeup. All right,
sounds
Thomas.
Good.
Thomas Elliott. Look, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you very much for
Squeam.
Having me.
Excellent. We'll keep in touch.
Cheers.
You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
This is Charlene Harris talking on Sci-Fi and Squeam at Joy 94.9.
Yes, hello. You're back with Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9. And that was the wonderful Chris Isaak with Voodoo. Very creepy, crawly kind of sounding song. And speaking of creepy and crawly, we are back here with Sonia, who is going to have a little bit of a chat about this wonderful horror film festival on this weekend. Sonia, can you tell us about that?
Look, it is fantastic. It's their second one. It's Stranger With My Face, horror film festival run completely by Australian filmmakers in Tasmania, Brian Kidd and Rebecca Thompson together as a team. They're very dedicated, plus a whole heap of volunteers have all turned up. Now, people aren't getting any, receiving any sort of profits from this. It's basically the one of its kind. It's an official Women in Horror Month event as well. That's what it's, and it's also celebrates International Women's Day. It runs from the 7th to the 10th. So it is a long weekend, so if people have a chance to go and hang out in Tasmania, why not? You can go to Stranger With My Face Horror Film Festival. Now, they've got all sorts of things, including a Mary Shelley Symposium with Zombalette, which is Scarlett Puccini, who's been on the show before. So she'll be doing a comic genre sort of workshop class with people, and that's all free, that sort of stuff. And Monsters and Mad Scientists looks good as well. Female Villains and Monsters in 30 Years of Doctor Who. That's with Tansy Rayner Roberts. So that gives you a taste of what's coming up. Plus, they have Jennifer Lynch, who has now been confirmed. They've got American Mary as the film of choice for their one of their opening evenings. And, yeah, look, there's lots of activities and workshops, how to make zombie makeup, how to make a film in 48 hours. I mean, wonderful stuff.
It sounds fantastically horrific.
I'm jealous.
I'm jealous as well. Can you tell us a little bit about the interview we're about to listen to?
Okay, this is with Bryony. She's one of the organisers of Stranger With My Face Horror Film Festival. And, yeah, she's just talking about what it's all about, the making of it, why they've done it, and also a little bit about Jennifer Lynch, that is.
Mm-hmm. Great. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Squeam on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Sci-Fi and Squeam, Bryony Kidd from Stranger With My Face Festival. That's in Tasmania coming up in March. So, yeah, if you could give us an overview of what Stranger With My Face is all about.
Yeah, thanks, Sonia. It's a festival that's focused on horror films by women. So initially we were inspired by the Viscera Film Festival in America and a lot of the women in horror activities that they have for Women in Horror Recognition Month every February, as you know. But we started it last year sort of in response to some of that activity, but it kind of took off and now it's become quite a big event in its own right. So it's happening for the second time from the 7th to the 10th of March in Hobart. Right. We have all sorts of really exciting filmmakers and guests coming down and a lot of activity. I guess it's sort of a bit of a mini con as well as a film festival. So there's all kinds of discussions and workshops and things.
What are some of the panels that you have there that people can get involved in?
Yeah, we have all sorts of talks as part of what we're calling the Mary Shelley Symposium. So we have something that is Tansy Rayner Roberts, who's a fantasy novelist here in Tasmania, and she's going to be speaking about female villains and monsters in 50 years of Doctor Who. And she's actually a bit of a Doctor Who expert, so that should be pretty interesting. Scarlett Bertini, who I actually met through your show, actually, and she's going to be talking about writing comic books and how to tell a dramatic or, you know, a horror story through comic books. She has her comic Zombalette, which is fantastic.
That's great.
Piece of work, so that's going to be really good. And we've got Isabel Pepard, who's an amazing stop-motion animator.
Mm.
She's going to be talking about stop-motion character design and all of that sort of stuff. Before she was making her film, she was working with Adam Elliott as one of his animators, and she worked for Patricia Piccinini as a sculptor doing that kind of work as well. So her stuff is incredible. And we also have a radio play, so we have a reading of a radio play.
Oh, right. Yeah, that sounds really curious.
Yeah, because it's a film festival, so it's really the logical thing to have a radio play, but that's kind of part of the idea of bringing in people from all different art forms to sort of talk about the themes that we're interested in. We really like that kind of cross-pollination of art forms.
Yeah.
So we've got Hilary Bell, who's an amazing playwright, and a lot of her work is in the area of female gothic and psychological ideas. And she has a radio play that she wrote for Radio National a couple of years ago called Beautiful Hands. And another thing that we've got this year, which is really exciting, is we have our 48-hour Tasploitation Challenge. So the sort of formal opening night of the festival is the 8th of March, and that's when we're having our VIPs and our red carpet and stuff. But on the 7th of March...
Like blood red carpet?
Yes, of course. on the 7th of March, we're having a more informal opening, which is our awards night for the 48-hour challenge.
Oh, that's exciting.
And that's going to be a red carpet.
Yeah.
I think more of a wacky zombie red carpet. And we've got 14 films that were made for that over the weekend, because it was a few weeks ago now that they actually made the film.
Yeah.
And they're just amazing films, and they're really all really diverse. And
how many entries did you actually get?
I think we had sort of 18 or something, and we only ended up having 14 who actually completed the film.
Okay.
But that's pretty good. And so we're going to have prizes for them, like there's a $500 cash prize for the best film that Screen Tasmania's donated. So we're going to have a big awards night with all kinds of different prizes for, you know, the best scare or the best actor.
And best makeup, best blood or brain shot.
We've got a gender prize too, actually.
Okay.
It's sort of the most interesting, I suppose, response to gender in the horror. It's a sort of a subtle kind of form of social engineering, I guess, because we have these competitions that are open to men and women and open to everyone. We also have our 10x10 script challenge, which,
you know, imagine if Hollywood had the same proviso when they did a script.
Yeah, you can't put this film out unless you have an interesting take on gender.
Exactly. Now that would be a challenge.
It would be quite hard for a lot of them.
I reckon.
Script competition, we've done the same thing for that as well. We actually have a Miss Havisham Award for that one, which is the gender award. It probably is the only thing of its kind in Australia. Like, the female focus is different. And I also like the way it's bringing in people who say that they don't like horror, because that seems to happen as well. We're actually screening a feature documentary as the opening film, so it's kind of almost like we're running this evangelical program to sort of subtly drag in all these people.
Convert the convertible.
Maybe that's why I specifically wanted the word horror to be in the title of the
film,
because that does annoy people and does put some people off, but I kind of think, well, that's kind of your problem.
Yeah, exactly. Deal with it.
Our special guest is Jennifer Lynch, who's coming all the way from LA just for this festival. It's pretty exciting. And our opening night film is a feature documentary called Despite the Gods, which is actually not by Jennifer, it's about her, by an Australian filmmaker called Penny Bosniak. And it's an amazing documentary about Jennifer's struggle to make a feature film in India. There's a film called Hiss that's about a snake goddess, you know, got a fair bit of horror in it. It's the story of her struggle to make that film, basically.
I've heard about this, yes.
It's a classic sort of nightmare filmmaking experience. It epitomises everything that we're about, which is, I guess, talking about what it means to be a female director of genre film. Following that, on the opening night, we've got American Mary, which, of course, we had to have. In a way, we have two films at the opening night that are both about the horror of being a female director.
Can you just give us a few details, the dates and website address and all of that good stuff?
Yeah, so the dates for the festival are the 7th to the 10th of March. All the details are on our website, which is strangerwithmyfaith.com. We also have a Facebook page, and tickets will be available through the website. We're not making profit. We're just actually wanting people to come and see films.
Yeah. And enjoy it. Exactly. Bryony, it's been great speaking to you, and I know that we'll be talking a lot more with you very shortly, hopefully from Tasmania as well, which would be exciting here on Sci-Fi and Screen. Thank you again, Bryony Kidd.
Thanks, from,
Sonia. Yeah, Stranger with My Face Horror Festival coming up very soon in Tasmania.
This is Sci-Fi and Screen on Joy 94.9, and we are here talking a little bit about horror with Bailey, and it makes us question, why were we listening to that song just then? That was Sweet Child of Mine by the Mighty Gunners. There is a good reason that we were listening to Sweet Child of Mine, and we are going to find out in just a moment.
A to Z of Horror
with Bailey for Horror Virgins,
only on Sci-Fi and Screen.
Yes, that's right. We are here with the next installment of Bailey's A to Z of Horror. And this week, we're up to C for children, hence Sweet Child of Mine. So, Bailey, what can you tell us about... Why would we talk about children when we're talking about horror?
Because children are horrible.
Well, they are, but in what way?
Okay, but on top of that, children have a very surprisingly large presence in various horror movies. There's generally two types of children in horror movies. There's the creepy child, and then there's the innocent child. So if you want to see a good example of a creepy child, you would see Children of the Corn, Silent Hill, and actually that's all I've got for creepy children at the moment.
So these are like vindictive children?
Yeah, and Village of the Damned as well. Like, they're sort of alien.
They're almost alien, yeah. With a platinum blonde hair.
Damien.
Ah, the Omen series.
Yes, the Omen
series, yeah. The most evil of all children.
They're born that way.
Yeah.
They are, to quote Lady Gaga.
Born bad.
Yes.
Apparently.
Yeah, born evil, very evil.
Okay, what about the innocent children? What role do they play in horror?
Innocent children. Innocent children seem to flock to supernatural types of horror.
What, you mean they're possessed? Like, again, it's a type of possession? Or
not necessarily possession. Maybe, let's say, there's a haunted house. Right, there's a haunted house movie. Who would be the most likely to see the ghosts first?
The
child.
Dog. Oh, sorry. I thought the family dog.
And or the child.
True.
And the parents wouldn't believe them because, you know, kids have overactive imaginations. Yeah. A really good example of that would be Insidious. But also Child's Play.
Child's Play. Why Child's Play?
Child's Play. It's the first two are actually very good. I really like them. They're very nice introductions because they're actually fairly scary, but they're not very violent.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you tell us about Child's Play for the uninitiated? What is Child's Play all about?
Okay, keeping in mind this was the late 1980s when anything could go. I'm actually rolling my eyes. You can't see that at home, but I'm rolling my eyes because it's just such an absurd concept. A serial killer, criminal type person is fleeing from the police. He gets shot, and then he uses ancient voodoo to put his soul inside of a doll in the universe. It's, I can't remember the name of the doll. Do you remember? The good guys.
The good guys, that's right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
And then, so what role does the child, I guess, not the actual doll, but the actual child play?
The human child. Well,
yeah, what role does he play in Child's Play?
He actually blurs the line between creepy and innocent.
Mm.
In the first half or so, when it doesn't obviously show whether the doll is alive or not, it hints at it, but it also leaves a lot of room for guessing that the child is doing it as well.
Right.
Is, you know, pushing people off balconies and stabbing people. And
so is this a good intro to bad children? I mean, it's interesting.
Well,
it's almost like a transference of an adult's idea of what a bad child should be by possessing a doll that attacks them.
I suppose, yeah.
Nasty.
No, but the first two movies are very good. The third one is tolerable. And they should have really made more. I'm really disappointed they didn't make any more.
No, don't hold your breath.
Hasn't it spawned?
It could happen.
No, there was only three.
Oh. I was sure that there was a whole load of Bride of Chucky.
I think you're imagining things.
Really?
Oh, well.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. I've done extensive research into this.
So, Bailey, what is your favourite child in horror movie?
The Mist. Hands down, easily. By far, The Mist.
What's The Mist about?
The Mist is a Stephen King novella turned into a movie, and it's about a large group of people inside a small town.
Mm-hmm.
They get isolated. They get stuck inside of a supermarket when this mysterious mist kind of floats in.
Mm.
And somebody comes screaming that's covered in blood and says, don't go into the mist, there's, you know, there's monsters, there's creatures there.
There's children in there.
No, there's no children in there. Well, there might be. Maybe. There's a lot of tentacles in the mist,
okay.
I know that. But there's a child in the mist.
There is a child
of
in
course.
The mist.
Of course. Otherwise, yes. I wouldn't be talking about it.
Okay.
No, and he's a innocent child. He's a massive, huge motivation for the main character, who is, of course, the child's father.
Right.
To see the child safely through this, to make sure he survives through this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not even to kind of solve the mystery of the mist, just to survive, just a base level of survival.
Right.
Which is another great thing about it, because I thought the mist was fairly terrifying, but not in the obvious sort of something jumps out at you frequently sort of thing. It's a very tense movie.
Just the idea of what the mist could be hiding.
Yep, and it's just a group of people locked inside an average supermarket. They're all completely average. They don't know what is in the mist, and they don't care because they can't do anything about it. They just want it to go away, and, you know.
Mm. So is this the number one film? What would you suggest out of all of those that people should start first with? C for children and horror.
Okay. The Mist?
Mm-hmm. Really?
I love The Mist.
Okay.
Any chance to recommend it in any context.
All right.
I ram it down people's throats.
Okay.
Okay. But Poltergeist.
Okay.
Yeah. The first one. Poltergeist.
I actually haven't seen the next.
You're not missing much, actually. But I love the first one.
I watched it for the first time ever last night to research for this, and I was blown away.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing, actually.
It's interesting, the pedigree of it. It's Toby Hooper.
Toby Hooper, who did the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
With Steven Spielberg as producer.
Yeah.
And I believe George Lucas as well.
That wouldn't surprise
producer.
Me, because, you know, Spielberg and Lucas are just, they're attached to the head.
They did do a lot in the 80s. They did do a lot of work with the Indiana Jones series, of course,
so
collaboration.
A lot of film cred with that.
Yeah, it's really worth it. Fantastic.
Yes. You are listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
And now, science fiction news.
Hey, Sci-Fi and Screamers, you're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, and this is Dr. M here with the news for this week. The brains behind the Walking Dead comic, Robert Kirkman, has recently signed a deal with Fox International Channels to write a script for a television series based on his upcoming comic, all about the world of exorcism, so something a little bit different for Kirkman. Whilst few details have been released, for example, we don't yet know the name of the series, and we don't exactly know when it's going to be released, We do know the official press release states that the series will revolve around a young man named Kyle who has been plagued by demonic possession since he was a child, and he now must embark on a spiritual journey which could mean the end of all life on Earth. So I sense a kind of apocalypse theme happening here with Kirkman. He seems to like the idea of things that might end all life on Earth. Now, Kirkman will serve as executive producer for the project alongside David Alpert and is reportedly excited about the deal because whilst exorcism has been explored ad nauseum in film, it's never really been explored through television. And you could also say that about zombies. So he's sort of done something slightly more groundbreaking with The Walking Dead also. So clearly Kirkman has a penchant for serials. So let's look out for that one possibly next year. Director Bryan Singer has confirmed on Twitter that Halle Berry will be joining the cast of X-Men for X-Men Days of Future Past, reprising her role as Storm. The movie, set for release next year, sees the X-Men travelling through time to alter major historical events in order to prevent global catastrophe. And the movie is being pitched as a sequel to the prequel film X-Men First Class. All gets a bit confusing. You guys can talk about that next week on Reboots, I say. Now, EA Games in America is holding a conference this Thursday to discuss the representation of gay characters in games and the treatment of gay employees in the workplace. The event, titled Full Spectrum, will be held in New York, and topics up for discussion include how to create authentic LGBTIQ characters in their games and how to approach issues that are relevant to gay, lesbian and transgendered individuals. At present, EA has a 100% rating for equality in the workplace, and several of their games feature gay characters or options to pursue gay relationships. So, for example, the sci-fi hit Mass Effect 3, you can choose to pursue a gay relationship in that game. The company even included an entire gay planet in the game Star Wars Old Republic, an MMO which was released in 2011. So keep up the good work, guys. In more gaming news, the long-awaited and controversial reboot of the fantasy action franchise Tomb Raider has been officially released today by Square Enix, along with a complimentary app titled The Final Hours of Tomb Raider that gives you access to extra material such as original concept art and pre-production video of the game in development. Available on Xbox, PS3 and PC, the latest edition of Lara is meant to flesh out the character by giving her more personality and more backstory. This move has been seen by some as an attempt to address the sexist content in the previous Lara Croft games, which revolve around blatant objectification of Lara as a pixelated sex object. However, the new version is not without its critics. In an attempt to make Lara seem more vulnerable, thus explaining how she became such a strong character, players will be witness to Lara being cornered like an animal by a male character and almost raped. While some argue that this is purely a plot device used to strengthen Lara's backstory, others argue that this is merely another example of content produced by a male-dominated industry that views women as either submissive or as sexual objects. Now, in terms of gameplay, the new title has received mostly positive reviews. So, in terms of the themes in that game, it's just going to be up to you guys to check it out for yourself and see what you think. Now, finally, in the weird and the wonderful, a man dressed as Batman, whose true identity is still unknown, handed in a criminal at the Bradford Police Station in West Yorkshire last week, the criminal which was later charged for handling stolen goods. The handover was captured on a security camera, and the pictures have gone viral on the internet of this caped crusader. Based on the images, it looks like our caped crusader is going for a 60s-esque Adam West-style Batman, so there's really no way of telling whether his next move will be to single-handedly dismantle an organised crime ring or break out the Batusi in a flash mob. Only time will tell. And that's all for the news this week.
That sounds like fun. Yeah, yes. Watch out what's on the moors tonight.
Yes, exactly.
Batman.
Have you guys seen the pictures?
I've seen the pictures. They're pretty hilarious.
It is.
I haven't. That's the first I've heard of it.
Yeah.
It is. And I think that what's sort of amazing about that is that he has actually hidden his identity. People still don't know who he is.
Goodness. That is by far the best part.
Yeah. Keep it mysterious.
I just wonder how he actually captured this criminal. There doesn't seem to be any talk because, you know, in the pictures, he doesn't exactly look like a crime fighter. He may be dressed as Batman, but he just looks like an everyday kind of bloke. He just apprehended just, a criminal on his own and,
yeah, well,
and brought him in. I mean, why not? You've got a little bit of...
Well, be careful. I mean, we don't condone that people go out there and try to take on, you know, criminals.
That's true.
We say just be careful. Do the right thing, people.
But if you're into cosplaying and you want to mix it up and you think you can, maybe.
If they're werewolves, be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Werewolves are bad.
This is my new house. It's probably a bit like yours. I live here with just my mum and dad. They make me feel safe. Set with lights. Go out.
I don't like this house. It gives me the creeps.
Sally's got into it that we're not alone.
I thought I saw some of this out.
Lies like a presence. Spectral manifestation.
That was a trailer for When the Lights Go Out. Now, Sonia, do you want to talk a little bit about that? Why are we listening to that?
All right. Well, there is a theme here. Pretty much When the Lights Went Out is a film based in Yorkshire in 1974, and it's from Anchor Bay Entertainment, kindly donated that. Now, it's, like I said, Yorkshire 1974. It fits well with your Batman Renegade on the moors, doesn't
yes.
it? And
yeah,
also
it
fits well with children in horror, because this isn't just about flared trousers, glam rock, David Bowie, the sweet Mark Bolan and T-Rex, perms and polyester and lava lamps. No, there's a little bit more to it than that.
That would be cool, though.
It is cool. But there's a great soundtrack, but I won't go on about that. Now, When the Lights Went Out is a 2012 supernatural horror film directed by a guy called Pat Holden. Now, it's been out in the UK since the end of last year, and it only made it to DVD here, which is a bit sad because it did really well in international film circuits and horror film fests around the world. It's based on a story about a evil monk who died half a millennium ago in Britain, but he is now a poltergeist and he haunts this particular house in 1974, owned by Joe and Jean Pritchard, and they're just average people living in an estate housing area in a place called Pontefract in Yorkshire. But they've moved to this new house, and their daughter, of course, children often attract these things in genre films and horror, a poltergeist comes to play with her. In a creepy, spooky way,
yeah,
obviously.
Yeah, not in the nice playing kind of
way. Not in the nice playing sort of way, no. So Natasha Connor plays a very young lady who is getting possessed a little bit now and again by something that lives in the house. And it becomes extremely violent and terrifying as the story moves along. So the Maynard family, that's the family who have moved there, have decided to hire, first of all, a local exorcist. That doesn't work, so then they go to the local Catholic priest. And the rest I don't want to spoil for you, because it's really interesting. I love the way that it used the technology and the 1970s as a background. It's also based on an actual story that actually happened in England, where a family was, in fact, believably attacked and their house possessed, lots of flying plates and chairs and things back then. So look, I'm giving this a 3 out of 5 just because it's English. You don't often see British poltergeist haunted films. The Americans seem to have got the market for that, so it's nice and refreshing to see something with a bit of a northern accent happening in bleaky old blighty England. I'm giving it a 4 out of 5.
A 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
You've raised the mark.
I know. Look, it's not as scary as you think. It's more like the characters, and that's, you know, really interesting with those quirky characters. I think Natasha O'Connor is going to be quite a big star, I would say. And it also stars Stephen Waddington, Craig Parkinson, and it's out now on DVD only through Anchor Bay Entertainment.
And good character development is really important in horror. I mean, it's not just about the scares and, you know, the gore and the jumps and the thrills. I mean,
exactly.
People do want to actually engage with a good story.
Yeah.
Care when the people get offed.
Exactly. Yeah. You're right. You want to care. I mean, although there's always those few kills at the start, there's always that cathartic, it's the character
this
you love
like
to hate.
This isn't like that at all, without spoiling too much. It is still a family haunting.
Okay.
So it's not American, and it is based on facts. So nobody, without spoiling it too much, it's not a slasher. It's not that kind of, it is things being flung about in a room and, you know, the feeling of been watched and a presence, but definitely nothing violent, really violent. So
sometimes I think the less detail you see, the scarier it can be, because it's sort of left up to your imagination. You can just think about what is possibly happening. And I also love these horror movies that are based on true stories. It just adds another layer of tension to that whole experience because you're thinking, this potentially happened to someone.
Yeah, well, apparently it did. So, look, the characters are cute. The kids are great in it. The two actors in that who are kids. And there's just some great little pivotal moments where you just feel like the slice of life of suburbia back in England in 1974.
Mm.
If you're into that.
Yeah. It sounds fantastic.
Bell bottoms. But the other one we've got is also, if I've got a bit of time left, we did have the Moff Diaries last week. We were giving that DVD away. Now, that is a film that's based on the novel by Rachel Klein. We were talking about young adult fiction last week. So that's been out last year. Now, it too didn't go to any cinemas in Australia, which is disappointing. It went straight to DVD through Anchor Bay. But it's a fantastic film as far as it's directed by Mary Harron, of course, who did American Psycho. It stars Lily Cole as Onessa, who's a vampiric type of creature. Scott Speedman, of course, we probably know from the Underworld series. Look, it's chilling. It's atmospheric. It's a horror story with girl-on-girl vampires. What more could you ask for?
What more can you ask for? You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Mark Shepherd. You're listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
This is Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9. And it's been a wonderful show. We've been here talking about a whole load of ghoulish and ghastly things. We've had some wonderful reviews by Sonia. Thank you, Sonia, for your review of When the Lights Go Out.
When the Lights Went Out.
When the Lights Went Out.
Yeah, they did go out.
Okay, past
tense. Quite a few times in that film. Lots of light bulb blowing up. So, it's all handy to keep candles.
Okay, and also The Moth Diaries.
The Moth Diaries, yep.
And, of course, we had some wonderful guests. We had film director Thomas Elliott here talking about his upcoming film, Occupied. Hmm. So make sure you check that out. Early in the show, Tom told you where to go, I believe, the possible website.
You can go to our Facebook page.
That's right.
Go to the Joy site, through joy.org.au.
Yes, of course. And thank you to Bailey for the A to Z of Horror.
No
again,
problem.
Talking about those creepy children.
Mm-hmm.
And next week, what are we going to be talking about?
Well, indeed, Boot Out the Reboot. We're going to be looking at reboots, remakes, why on earth people do them, and if they do, are they any good? Now that's throwing blood amongst the vampires, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's so much of that happening.
Yeah, you mentioned the X-Men series, a franchise, and of course, it gets very confusing sometimes and convoluted, I think.
It does get confusing.
Yeah.
It's mixing up all these sequels and prequels and reboots and franchises.
How to decipher all that?
It becomes hard to keep a track of what's happening.
Mm. Now, so that's next week, and we'll have Tara and Kirsty in for that one.
Yes, and of course, I should just quickly mention, we also had that interview with the lovely Bryony Kidd talking about Stranger With My Face, which is the horror film festival happening this weekend
in Tasmania. This long weekend
coming
up. Long weekend, people.
Yes.
Get those horror movies out, do those marathons, or go to Tasmania.
Exactly.
And enjoy and be amongst friends.
Exactly. You've been listening to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9.
I'm John O'Jarrett, Geeks Out from the United States of America, sends much love to Sci-Fi and Scream on Joy 94.9, the best LGBTQ radio show in all of Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.